Proverbs chapter 4, found on page 672 of your pew Bibles. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it, and do not go on it. Turn away from it, and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. May God be pleased to write His word upon our hearts and guide us as we look at this portion of His word tonight. Well, our passage or our message this evening is entitled "The King's Highway." As I was thinking about this, I thought of one of those great tools of the 21st century. Some of us had it in the 20th. Most of us had it in the 21st century. That wonderful tool called GPS. I remember before the days of GPS, I was much more apt to lose my way. Either to misread the atlas that I was carrying, or by the time I figured out that atlas, have already blown by the turn that I should have taken. Then I can remember getting my first GPS, and I traveled down to Atlanta, Georgia. And I don't know if you've traveled much in Atlanta, but it has a very intricate, weaving set of roads they call Spaghetti Junction. And it's very easy to get disoriented in that place. And yet, the GPS made us feel as if we were locals. We had plenty of advance warning of the coming turn, and we didn't get lost. I thought, wow, what a wonderful advantage to have a tool that would guide our travels, that would ensure that we made the right choices. Well, tonight we're looking at another, even more fabulous and worthwhile and timeless tool used to guide our paths. We're looking at the Word of God this evening. And throughout this book of Proverbs, Solomon will harp on, will reiterate time and again to his son, his sons need to be attentive to the Word of God, to really study it, to meditate upon it, that he might enjoy the many blessings that come with a knowledge of God's Word. And week after week, as we delve deeper into the book of Proverbs, we see new ways that Solomon tries to drive this lesson home. And so this evening we'll be looking at, one, the importance of our need to hear and heed these things. Secondly, we'll be looking at this blessed path set out by Christ that is now ours, this King's highway that we are to tread. But then we'll also be reminded of and see the contrast of the path of the ungodly. A path that is full of peril. So let's look here at these first three verses, verses 10 to 12. Solomon begins by, again, addressing his son. And anytime we hear this address to the son, we need to understand who it was that was inspiring Solomon. And so this is not only King Solomon addressing his son, this is our Heavenly Father addressing you and I as his sons and daughters of the importance of this tool which he has been pleased to give to us to guide and direct us. Here we see he begins by saying to his son, hear. But not only hear my words, he says, these words are not merely to occupy some containment vessel within your mind that you might pull from on occasion, but these are things that you need to possess and you need to understand them to be true. You need to accept them. Now, I chose that passage in Matthew 22 earlier this evening that, again, we would be reminded of the insufficiency of merely having knowledge. The Pharisees, in the account that we read, were asking questions, but they were asking questions they thought they knew the answer to in an effort that they might trip up our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But their questions betrayed something that was lacking. They may have had an awareness of the facts, but they did not possess an understanding of the facts of God's Word. Their understanding was quite limited, and Jesus called them on it on several occasions, that they were betraying their ignorance of the truth of God's Word. They took their pride in the things that they could accumulate. They would have loved to be able to answer those most deep and hard questions, like how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. But they lacked in those essential matters. They overlooked entirely what God had promised and what Christ represented as the fulfillment of God's promise, the promised Savior of Israel. And so here Solomon says, my son, it's not enough for you only to hear. It again is like that old attempt that I made in chemistry, thinking that it would be sufficient for me merely to sleep upon my chemistry book, that somehow by osmosis it would transform my chemistry grade. Well, it did, but not to the good, the first time or the second time I took it. He says, it's not enough to hear. You need to take these matters to heart. Sometimes we can get into the rut, even when we gather for worship. We're going through merely the motions, and God's Word is read. And it goes in one ear, and shortly thereafter comes out the other. We haven't really dwelled upon it. We haven't meditated upon it. You may find this to be a struggle in your devotional life, where the many activities of the day are pressing upon you, and that time that you feel you can spare to spend in the Word has to be cut short because a lunch needs to be packed. I'm late for work. My work schedule is so stacked this week that I feel I need to cut short my time in the Word. And so we read it, but that's all we do. We may hear it briefly, but we haven't meditated upon it. One of the things I enjoyed when we were on mission teams over in Scotland was the practice there of having team devotions in the morning, and we would read a passage of God's Word together as a team. We would pray about what it is that we had read, and then we would go about our day's duties, but at the end of the day, and while we were going about those duties, we were challenged to think about what we'd read. We would come together at the end of the day, and there we would reflect upon that which we had read in the morning and how well suited it had been to the day's activities. that we might better comprehend the way that God uses His Word to guide and direct us throughout the day, and lest we would fail to be appreciative for what He had done and what He had taught us during the day by coming together and assessing those things at the end of the day, we'd marvel oftentimes at how what we had read was so well suited to the challenges that we faced that day or the opportunities that He opened to us. It enabled us to think more deeply upon that passage than we would have otherwise done. And it can be a good practice for you in your own daily meditation upon the Word. Not to think of it as a one-and-done event, but to think about ways in which you can call that Word to mind throughout the day, that it would be with you in all that you undertake, that you might truly meditate fully upon it and accept that Word. So Solomon cries out, "My son, not only hear, but accept my words, that the years of your life may be many." Again, we're exploring this evening this idea of the King's highway, that route set forth by Christ. And if you think in terms of a road that the King commissions, He's not going to cut corners on that road. Contrary to maybe some of our own elected officials, they might cut corners. But this isn't a Pittsburgh street we're talking about. This is a path that leads to Christ, a path that leads to heaven, that dwelling place, that right home of all those who believe in Jesus Christ. He says, this word that has been lovingly given to you is intended to extend your life, to extend your days, that your life may be many. Now, all of us as good Reformed folks understand that God has apportioned to us a set number of days, right? And His plan will be played out perfectly. But Solomon here is intending for his son to realize those days which God has apportioned to you will be joyful, beneficial, days of happiness. And this isn't the Joel Osteen type of happiness we're speaking of here. This is a happiness and peace that comes from the hope that is ours in Christ. That even though we may face difficulties and illness, some of our members are facing great challenges right now. And yet, because of the accomplished work of Christ and because of the Word of God that He has given, they are finding comfort in this time of affliction. And they're finding direction when they are feeling as though life has gotten cloudy and they don't know how they ought to proceed. He goes on and he says, "I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness." And all of these things, the diligence of parents in teaching their children about Christ, in steeping them in God's Word, has at its core that desire that our children won't deal with some of the difficulties and trials that we had to face, that they might be blessed to make better decisions than we made, as God's Word would direct them. And we see a description of this highway of Christ in verse 12, when he says, "When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble." Again, this is a great difference from Pennsylvania streets, right? There are a few of us that would go out and run with much security at night without fear of falling into a pothole, of hurting ourselves. But such is this path laid out by Christ. Such is the benefit of God's Word that it is to guide our steps. It is to keep us with sure footing throughout all of the occurrences of life. It's to keep us from stumbling. And when we think back to our life before Christ, we can attest to the number of times we stumbled. We thought we knew the way we wanted to go, and yet every decision that we made apart from Christ seemed to end in the same calamity, in the same frustration, in pain and misery. It didn't work well. But here Solomon says, but God's word is intended to guide your paths. It is to be like this great spotlight that is before you that ensures that your path is illuminated, that you know how to run. Again, he pleads with his son, keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. God's word is not something that we just take on occasion. This is to be something that we understand to be the life-giving word of God. As we read it, we're reminded of the power of God's word. We have read from Genesis of how it was that God's spoken word was powerful enough to bring all that is into being. And here is his word that he has preserved for us. That same powerful word that he has lovingly preserved that we might enjoy its guidance, that it would be our instruction. That it would be to us a guard. Children, it's important to realize that. As many of you will face greater difficulties than those of us who are older in your life growing up. So many are the attacks that are being made against the things of God today. Things that are being questioned, confusion that seems to reign. Makes it even more imperative that the Word of God is within us, is written upon our hearts, occupies our minds, and guides our steps. Because we will be challenged, questioned, just as our Lord and Savior was questioned by those who sought to trip him up. We're blessed to be on a path set out by Christ. And we see here the loving care of a father. We see the loving care of our heavenly Father as he gives to us warning. Warning of that competing path. As I was reading through this, I thought, you know, in one sense, for this kind of travel, we don't need the Garmin. Because we need the Garmin here in our travels because there are any number and variety of paths that we could fall upon. But in the case in what God is putting before us here in Proverbs, there are but two. Only two paths. There is that King's Highway that Christ has laid out, or there is a path that leads to condemnation and destruction. That's it. We're either seeking to abide upon one and travel in a fashion after God's instruction, or we're rebelling against him and running the opposite direction into calamity. And he makes and paints for us a picture of words this evening of that other path. He says in verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. One of the big challenges that we will face in this life is we think that there is a way that we can manage both of these paths. That we can flirt with the things of the world. That we can partially engage in what the world has to offer without any lasting effect. And it just isn't so. I've used the examples from Pilgrim's Progress of how Pilgrim was often enticed to leave that path. And he was enticed to leave it because it looked easier, or it ran parallel with the path he was on that was rocky and hard and up a hill and tiring. And yet every time he left the path, he found himself imperiled, endangered, or lost, until evangelist came and put him back upon that path that he had put him upon at the beginning. And so we see Solomon here impressing that upon his son. Don't flirt with these things. You can't play on both sides. You can't live as the world lives and still seek to honor God. Follow his laws. And we know that those who would seek to lead us astray will use subtle speech. They will seek to make a compelling argument. But he describes those who are in the employ of our enemy in verses 16 and 17. We see that they are nothing like us if we are in Christ. Their whole perspective, their whole aim in life is different from that of the man or woman of God. How does he describe them? He says in verse 16, "For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They're robbed of sleep unless they have made someone to stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." They don't feel that they have accomplished anything in their day if they have not led to the confusion, consternation, or the destruction of those who are the enemy of their Lord, Satan. They're bent on causing turmoil. They can't rest unless they can see others come into the same misery that typifies their existence apart from Christ. Not only is it the occupation of their day, it is their sustenance. It is all they care about. And we've seen people like that, whose lives are permeated with this desire to follow after the world, to pursue the passions and the fleshly desires of the world. And their life is violent, filled with chaos, hardship, and hurt. And Solomon is laying this out that, again, his son would understand his loving pleas and the benefits of the Word of God, that he might not himself follow or fall prey to those who would seek to do ill to him. And then he brings it back again to the blessings of God's law. I love getting up early in the morning for a few reasons. One, my kids aren't yet awake, and so it's the quietest point of the day. I can enjoy my cup of coffee without any questions. But one of the things that I love the most is watching the sunrise, watching the darkness of night lift, and increasingly the glorious brightness of that sun comes upon me. And Solomon, as he describes the impact of the Word of God, he says, "For the man and woman of Christ, each day of our life spent in the Word, as we grow in our understanding of who Jesus is increasingly brighter than the last." It's like that sunrise, where we can remember when we were but babes in Christ, there were still a lot of things we didn't understand. The world was still a very scary place. But as God was pleased to write his word on our hearts and our minds, as we were able to grow in our understanding and awe of what Christ has done, it was as if that light got brighter and brighter. Now those things that once caused us consternation and confusion, now his word gives us an answer, direction, guidance. And it gets brighter and brighter. And I think one of the ways that that was most visible to me is as I've had opportunity to be at the bedside of faithful saints just before they go to glory. And they look forward with anticipation to being with Christ. You see, when we're younger, we think in terms of death with a great deal of fear and apprehension. But to those who have experienced a life of God's faithfulness and direction, many of those fears fall away, and in its place is assurance of salvation in Christ that yields confidence as they would go forward into his glorious embrace. And so it seems as the culmination of that rising sun, the brightness that God provides. And so he says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. And a day is coming when Christ will come again. And when we all who are in Christ will be exposed to that great brightness of our light in his most glorious array. And we will be made like him, glorious. What a wonderful picture of what lay ahead at the end of that King's highway for those who hear and accept the truth of God's word, who put their faith in Christ. For you will see these things, and his word is given to you to ensure that you will see these things as it guides you in this great path. Let's look to him in prayer.